The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition. A little buddy's back. How you doing, Dom?
Hey, Crudy. Happy hump day to you. Rich, good to see you, man. Thanks for pulling all that audio for us today. Of course, our fair audience, thank you for joining the political party. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
And you can always be a part. 844-967-2789. That's the Patriot hotline. I want to hear from the Patriots today, Dom.
Especially why the Patriots today, Crudy?
Well, Dom, I mean, what is it about? I love the fact that people are clamoring to be the most patriotic, to prove they're the most American, especially some of the candidates. Eric Hudvey comes to mind. Now, he had a bad week last week, Dom. Yeah. Bad week indeed. I talked about some of that UrbanMilwaukee.com online daily. Bruce Murphy talked about the really bad week that Eric Hudvey had. Well, you know, this is the week, Dom. He's going to turn it all around.
All right.
And you know, he's reminiscent of Tommy Thompson, and we've got some sound. And this one is played and brought to us by Ben Wickler. And you might say, who's Ben Wickler? He's the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman, and he tweeted this sound out, and we found it there in the Twitter first, Dom, and Rich did all the hard work. Let's play it for the people. This is GOP senatorial candidate from the great state of Wisconsin. Well, you know, he's had a hard time convincing people he's a Wisconsinite too, Dom.
He's running for the Senate seat here in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, he used to be from here, but takes up residence in Laguna Beach, California, mostly. But Dom, today, or at least this sound, he's going to convince you he is the most patriotic candidate. He's going to prove it. Play it for the people, Rich. Eric Hudvey.
I'm proud to be an American. I love my country. So let's say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
God bless America. Nowhere else.
Oh, my God. It reminds me of like Leslie Nielsen and Naked Gun, you know, trying to sing the national anthem. Yeah, come on, man. At least he didn't say the inserted in 1954 version, you know, under God. He messed that part up. Wow. When Wickler tweeted that out, this was yesterday, here's what Ben had to say. Eric Hubdy's Senate race is a Veep episode that just keeps writing itself. Let's be very super patriotic and totally mess up the Pledge of Allegiance. Well done, sir.
I would call this, you know, the misfortune of a rookie, Dom, except he ran for Senate before. Hudvey's done this before. He ran and lost to Tommy Thompson in the GOP primary way back in 2012, Dom, about the time we started. And it was a brutal primary.
Making the money doesn't necessarily translate to electoral victory?
Huh. Well, apparently not when one has to run against Tommy Thompson, a very popular, you know, governor here in the great state of Wisconsin. Hell, Tommy eventually went on to be a presidential candidate, didn't he? Just for a minute, a skosh. But anyways, Hudby lost to Tommy. And you thought he would have learned something. But here's the only thing he learned. Day drinking. The immediate thought I had when I heard this Eric Hudby sound, and thank you so much, Ben Wickler, was Tommy celebrating the glorious victory of the Green Bay Packers. And I forget what Super Bowl it was, like 1996. And Tommy gave a speech. And I was supposed to be there. I was supposed to be up in Green Bay. They did this parade, and you know, the victors returned home, and Reggie White and all that stuff. And they went to the stadium. They went to Lambeau, and it was a damn cold day. Like, cold. Stinking cold. And Tommy blamed it on the cold, but I blamed it on the Budweisers. Here's how Tommy Thompson sounded that day, celebrating the Packer victory.
Whereas the Packers are America's real team and will always be winners in the hearts and minds of the people of Wisconsin, therefore I, Tommy Thompson, governor of the great state of Wisconsin, do hereby proclaim January 27, 1998, all over Wisconsin, Green Bay Packer Day, in the honor of all of you, the fans. Congratulations. Thank you.
And amen.
Were there some echoes there? I mean, really, I thought immediately, and I appreciate the hard work, Rich. I thought immediately of Tommy Thompson giving that drunken speech at Lambeau Field. The difference being Tommy's lovable and Tommy was pro beer. So what was the excuse? Because this guy, if you believe the hype, Eric Hudby doesn't believe in the commercial sale of beer, damn. You know, that's okay, if you homebrew it, apparently.
Yeah, got to make your own, but he doesn't want it for sale.
Bathtub gin for all his friends. So if he wasn't day drinking that day, Dom, which I assume that's the reason you took yesterday off. But if he wasn't day drinking, what the hell was it? I mean, why did he sound like that? That sounded like a scared little girl in front of the auditorium
in third grade. It was really bad. You know what? It was so bad. I think maybe you want to maybe play it again, Rich. Do we have it again? I'll give you a minute. I want to kind of relive this because it was something to behold. And while I didn't go right to the drunken Tommy Thompson.
Oh, that's where I went immediately.
It was awkward. It was weird. It was forced. It wasn't natural. It seemed like he was trying too hard. He's a try hard. Man, I mean, this is a guy that jumped in the frozen lake and challenged Tommy Baldwin, come jump in the lake with me. What, dude? You know what I'm saying? So, and it's not just the terrible policies. It's also that he does not come across as genuine.
Let's.
Did you want Tommy or did you want Hudby again?
Hudby.
Oh, okay. Hubby. All right. With that one, you see that one I can grab. Okay.
I'm proud to be an American. I love my country. So let's say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
I pledge the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Amen.
Now, if that doesn't prove his patriotic bona fides, I don't know what will, Dom. I don't know what will. Interesting times we live in. One more. And I appreciate everyone for joining us today. We'll take your calls.
Dilates University.
Oh, 844-967-2789. But even Joe Biden has kind of gotten in on the humor, if you will. And he's not specifically targeting Eric Hudby, but he will at some point during the campaign. He's been more than willing to target Rojo. And this guy's putting the target on his own back when he screws up the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, Vicky McKenna should be calling him out for this. But anyways, Joe Biden calling out the former president, his opponent this fall, for selling Bibles, Dom. Rich got this one. Let's play it for the people. Thank you, Rich.
He described the Dobbs decision as a miracle. Maybe it's coming from that Bible he's trying to sell. Whoa. I almost wanted to buy one just to see what the hell's in it.
Joe Biden's got more of a sense of humor than the former does these days.
Right.
That's the one thing you got to say. Trump never had a sense of humor. And I don't think Eric Hudby was trying to be funny here.
No.
Any well, more I mean, than Tommy Thompson was trying to sound drunk that day.
I don't, you know, the narcissist in Donald Trump, I don't think allows for any sense of humor. I mean, the guy's so sensitive and thin-skinned. If you don't have a self-deprecating sense of humor, man, you're in the wrong business. I mean, people are going to rip on you no matter what. At least half the people are not going to like you. If you're a politician, you know, good luck. Don't get into it to fucking friends. Because the other side, they're always going to tear on. I got to tell you, man. At least Tommy Thompson comes across as a genuine. Hudby comes across as forced.
Hudby does come across as forced. 844-967-2789. So, Dom, this is where we start our day today, and there's plenty to cover. No Trump trial today, though. It's a little disappointing. I wish we had it each and every day. Right. I wonder, we did have some sound. Maybe we'll get to it later in the show. You know, Trump not in court, but we did have some sound of Triumph the comic insult yesterday. Comic dog.
Did David Pecker conclude his?
He's not done. He's not done yet. David Pecker will have more testimony tomorrow when we're back in court in New York. Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got Dom, got Rich, got you. I hope you're full of patriotism today. I want the Patriots. You go to the top of the queue. 844-967-2789. Now, Eric Hudby, I'd question your patriotism. The fact that you cannot accurately say the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, come on. Every fourth grader in America could have gotten that one, right?
And then he wraps it up with an amen. I mean, I remember.
God bless you, Dom. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the
Think you know politics? Again, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
American woman. And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy hump day to us all. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
But the Patriots get top billing. You go to the top of the list. Tell them you're a Patriot. If you could say the Pledge of Allegiance accurately from start to finish, it's not that long. It's not like it's the Lord's Prayer or something.
Can I skip the under God part that was added in the '50s? Is that okay? Because I'm not a big fan of that part of it. But other than that, I'm fine with it.
If you must.
And if you can't say it the entire thing, like hub do, I mean I can only assume you're a communist, socialist, Marxist, you know, Antifa. Or something.
Certainly not qualified to appear on this fine program. Yeah. That's the lightly screening part. You got to be able to say. I tell you what, for you, CJ, the Magna Carta. 844-967-2789. You know, I'd like to challenge him because he's an originalist and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Dom, Janelle Branchon, I have...
Wisconsin State Rep Janelle Branchon to you, young man.
Well, alleged felon to you, young man. The Wisconsin Ethics Commission referred her specifically for charges. And they recommended felonious charges for breaking campaign finance laws. And Dom, you realize There was a tape. Lordy, there was a tape.
I did not realize that. Here is the reporting initially. This one from WPR. The Bipartisan Wisconsin Ethics Commission referred the case for prosecution in February, alleging that Brangin worked with former President Donald Trump's Save America Political Action Committee, three county Republicans, Republican parties, and the campaign committee of Adam Steen, who ran against Voss. Apparently, Brangin advised Steve and facilitated contributions between Save America Committee and the Chippewa County Republican Party, the Florence Republican Party, and the Republican Party of Langlade County. Under state law, donors can only give candidates to the state assembly up to $1,000, but they can give unlimited amounts to county political parties, which then make unlimited transfers to candidates. The Ethics Commission said Brangin was complicit in a scheme that arranged large dollar donations to the county parties that were then transferred to Steen's campaign, saying there was, quote, at least one recorded conversation where she discussed getting money from the Save America Committee to a county party.
Yet she was not charged in Waukesha County. And I paraphrase, but the DA down there said something to the effect, you know, just because these recorded tapes sound bad in the court of public opinion, well, I have to go try it in a court of law. And this is not to the standard of beyond reasonable doubt. And I'm thinking, I got reasonable doubt about your credibility right now.
No doubt. And if that's the case, then you let the jury decide?
Well, Dominic,
you have one. Listen, Steen's campaign recorded a bunch of them. This is from the statement of the Waukesha County District Attorney. Let's see. This person's name is Susan Oper. O-P-P-E-R. Is that Ope. Some proper?
It's like Oper. Oper.
O-P-P-E-R. Here's what Susan said in the body of the piece. There were several recordings, 34 recordings. Okay, it appears that the first person is interviewed by the investigators and her rebuttal here on why she's not prosecuting Brangin for this, you know, conspiracy. Two staffers working on the Steen campaign. One of them appeared to be in a position of authority. Following the interview, one of the staffers turned over to the investigators 34 audio recordings from Steen's campaign phones. The staff reported that Steen routinely recorded calls into his office and granted her permission to access them via an app. Amongst the recordings were four conversations purported to be oral communications between Steen and Rep. Janelle Brangin. The veracity and authenticity of the recordings was never determined by the investigators. Based on these recorded conversations, commission concluded there's probable cause that Brangin committed a crime. So 34 total recordings, four of which were conversations specifically between Steen and Brangin.
Perry Mason would call that a smoking gun, Dom. I mean, I didn't know there was four tapes. I knew there was one. And in it, my understanding is she is directing funds directly in excess of campaign finance limits that she would know, because not only does she serve here in the state assembly, but she also heads, what, Dom, the Assembly Elections Committee. I think she'd be aware of the guidelines. Well, she was stripped of the gavel after.
From that leadership role by Speaker Voss after she betrayed him.
Well, betrayed him by feloniously breaking campaign finance laws, trying to have him beaten in a primary, trying to funnel money from the Trump super PAC to Langlade County, Florence County, and Chippewa County.
Jefferson County as well, yeah.
To back channel it back to Adam Steen.
Get around campaign finance limits. And yes. There were several recordings. Adam Steen's on them. He's also involved. You get Steen to roll, and you bring the prosecution.
She also wrote a check in excess of campaign finance limits to be funneled back to the Steen campaign. She is guilty of the crime she also conspired to have others do feloniously. I can see why she's objecting so strenuously to what the attack on her shining reputation, Don.
With politics reporting, GOP State Rep. Janelle Brangin suggested the Ethics Commission wanted to tarnish her reputation ahead of the fall election when it asked a local DA to charge her with a felony for an alleged scheme to funnel contributions to a man challenging Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Waukesha County DA Sue Hopper on Friday declined to file charges, citing a lack of evidence she could use in court. Branjan, who didn't respond to a message on Friday seeking comment on Opera's decision, said in a Monday statement, "The Ethics Commission referral was a complete surprise to me." She added she wasn't notified of an investigation, didn't receive original complaints, and wasn't allowed to respond. Branjan didn't include details of why she thought the commission might have targeted her. She pushed a series of conspiracies about the 2020 election while she chaired the Assembly's Campaign and Election Commission before Voss removed her in the post. Here's the quote. "Given the timing of this referral, it raises suspicions of an attempt to tarnish my character before the upcoming fall election, especially considering its release on the last legislative floor day of 2024. Nevertheless, I maintain my stance that I, quote, have done nothing wrong and will continue to stand by it."
Just like Trump. She's being persecuted. It's a witch hunt. Let's throw her in the water and see if she floats. Come back. More Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789.
I gotta go. I gotta go. American woman. Yeah.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. The felonious allegations leveled at your girl, Rep. Janelle Branjan, Dom, and her sterling reputation. I mean,
she's so concerned about it.
She was stripped of the gavel. She provided a platform and apparently subpoena power to corrupted former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. The guy that hired him called him an embarrassment by the end. Their avocation was for decertifying the election of 2020. You ain't got no reputation to preserve, lady. I'm just telling you.
I think she also went out. Did she go to the Cyber Ninjas recount?
The Cyber Symposium in Maricopa County. Yes, my understanding is she and Gableman attended. We're less clear who paid for all of it.
I'm pretty sure it was Christina Bob's organization that paid for Janelle Branjan to get out there. I'm not sure about Gableman, but certainly Branjan.
I feel like the taxpayers and the multi-million dollar boondoggle that has been the investigation of Gableman into the prior election. Well, Dom, I'm pretty sure the taxpayers were on the hook for his travel.
Well, aren't they all? OPM, baby.
844-967-2789. Dom, I reference Wispolitics. Branjan, who didn't respond to a message on Friday seeking comment on Opper's decision, said in a statement Monday, the Ethics Commission's referral was a complete surprise to me. I know you mentioned that. Branjan added, she wasn't notified of an investigation, didn't receive the original original complaints, and wasn't allowed to respond. Well, you do have the right to put on a defense in court. And I would remind you and the audience, Tom, the Wisconsin Ethics Commission that made this referral said if local DAs did not pursue within 60 days, they intended to go to the Wisconsin Department of Justice or other DAs as merited. So let's not assume she's off the hook yet. Here's a little bit more. Opper, again, she's the Waukesha County District Attorney that, passed on this. Here's what she claims. In a letter to the commission on Friday, that her decision not to file charges should not be seen as a finding that Branjan's actions were lawful nor laudable, Opper added the Ethics Commission could still pursue a civil violation where the burden of proof and the constitutional rights of the accused are far less stringent. Well, that would not be a criminal charge then. That would be a civil forfeiture of some sort, some modest fine and a slap on the wrist. I think it's worse than that. I read on. The commission's referral, and here's what you referenced, I wasn't clear, that there were 34 freaking tapes. The commission's referral included tapes of conversations in which Branjan and others allegedly discussed funneling money to the campaign of Adam Steen as the Studevant Republican challenged Voss in the GOP primary, and then during the fall as part of a write-in campaign. Now, Opper wrote, because the intercepted communications could not be used in a court to prosecute Branchon, there was no way to prove the lawmaker's knowledge and intent. Well, you know her intent. And if, what, you put witnesses on the stand, somebody's going to plead out, right? You charge everybody, somebody's going to plead out. You're going to have your witness. Anyways, Branchon, your girl, Dom, hasn't officially announced her plans for the fall election. So she's undeclared whether or not she's even running for her seat again. Again, worried about her sterling reputation.
Well, isn't Dan Knodel, who's been districted out, running against her?
Well, that is true, Dom. State Senator, current state senator, Dan Knodel, your senator from Germantown, has filed to run for the 24th Assembly District, which Branchon was drawn into under the new maps. So that's going to be a little conflict in the district. Knodel and Branchon last year squared off in a three-way GOP primary for the 8th Senate District. That was the special, I believe, after the resignation of Senator Alberta Darling, Republican from River Falls. Longtime GOP redistricting consultant Joe Hendrick calculated if the new 24th AD had been in place last year, Knodel would have pulled about 64% of the vote from the communities in that seat, compared to 36% for Branchon. So the math doesn't look good for her in the new 24th. The fight in 24th, Dom. Branchon hasn't responded to calls from Wisp Politics inquiring about her plans in the fall. She also didn't immediately respond to a message left with her state office today, and the Ethics Commission declined to comment on her alleged felonious ass, Dom. So, Josh Call, you're on the clock, are you not?
Yeah, essentially. There are other local DAs that could potentially do this, I guess. A little bit more from the Waukesha DA in her declination to charge. Again, mentioning the 34 audio recordings for purported to be oral communication between Steen and Branchon. The veracity and authenticity of the recordings was never determined by investigators. Based on these recorded conversations, the Ethics Commission concluded there was probable cause to believe that Rep. Branchon committed a crime. Now, here's what the DA goes on to say. It is these same recorded calls that lead me to conclude that there is not proof beyond a reasonable doubt to support a criminal prosecution. While it is true that according to Wisconsin statute that it is not unlawful for a person to intercept an oral communication where the person is a party to the communication or where one of the parties to the communication has given prior consent, which is the claim of the staffer who released these recordings, disclosure and use of intercepted communications is a different question, the DA writes. I conclude that under the established case cited below in her letter here, the state of Wisconsin would be precluded from using the intercepted communications in any prosecution of Rep. Branchon.
What do you know, though?
Oprah? Interception is one thing. Disclosure as evidence in court is another. In declaring interceptions with consent of one party not unlawful, the act recognizes the need of this investigative tool to detect crime. But in denying its use as evidence, the statutes recognize the balance, the right of privacy of free people. So that's the cover. She claims she wouldn't be able to use the recording.
Well, that would be a decision for the judicial branch, would it not?
Seemingly.
You're the prosecutor. You just charge. Somebody else makes determination of whether or not it is admissible as evidence in a court of law. First, you got to bring the indictment. First, you got to have the courage. I mean, all these law and order Republicans letting these people off the hook, Dom, it turns my stomach a bit.
Well, and it
tastes like burning.
Again, the projection. And it's not even, consistency with these Republicans. Oh, they're all cheating on elections. And what is literally Janelle Branchon doing? She's pulling money to get a workaround campaign finance limits.
Well,
she's
all
engaging in this conspiracy herself, participating in this herself, apparently scratched her own check herself.
And in excess of campaign finance limits.
In excess, yes, exactly. And now there's nothing we can do about it. The recordings that prove or purport to prove the conversation, her intent, the whole conspiracy, the reasoning, the actors, 34 of which are direct communications between Adam Steen and Rhett Branjan, and for some reason, she doesn't think we can use them. Maybe get Adam Steen, get him to roll. I mean, apparently
he should also be feloniously charged, according to the Wisconsin Ethics Commission and the referral thereof. He was a participant in the scheme, right at the heart of it, right?
Certainly, right. Yes.
So somebody's got to roll on somebody, and whoever chooses not to roll, well, Dom, they are the last one standing, and they do the most time in jail, typically. That's how it works. Now, these charges, do they merit jail time? Floating campaign finance laws. Scott Walker did it. He never served any jail time, Dom. Hell, never charged, never convicted. But we all know he did it.
They shut down the John Doe investigation. Well, they changed the law.
Shut down the Government Accountability Board. They changed the John Doe laws. They changed the caps on campaign finance limits. And they opened up the doors to the Wild Wild West by allowing the unlimited giving to parties that could then turn around and funnel that money back to like the individual campaigns.
Just like they did in this particular case.
Just like they attempted to do until the Wisconsin Ethics Commission said, hey, that's illegal. That might be feloniously illegal, and we recommend local DAs do something about it, or within 60 days, we're going to refer this to the Department of Justice. Dom, that was in February. We're in the third week of April. Tick-tock. Let's do
final,
it.
The final couple of paragraphs from District Waukesha County of Wisconsin District Attorney Sue Opper. The intercepted communications vital to this complaint were not authorized by Wisconsin statutes. Thus, they could not be used in a potential prosecution of Rep. Branjan. Furthermore, any information derived from the intercepted communications could not be used. Without the intercepted communications, the knowledge and intent of Rep. Branjan necessary to sustain a conviction cannot be proven, nor could a conspiracy be established. And you mentioned this, Curdy, noting nothing in this decision should be interpreted as a conclusion of the actions of Rep. Branjan were lawful or not laudable. I do not reach such a conclusion. I am simply concluding that I cannot prove charges against her. While the intercepted communications may be compelling in the court of public opinion, they are not in a court of law. In short, the decision does not clear Rep. Branjan of any wrongdoing. There is just not enough evidence to move forward to let a fact finder decide. Finally, it is worth noting that the commission only had to act upon a finding of reasonable suspicion initially to authorize an investigation and then probable cause to make a referral. These burdens are substantially lower than proof beyond a reasonable doubt, which is necessary for a criminal conviction. The commission could, at its discretion, prosecute a civil violation of the law where the burden of proof and constitutional rights of accused are far less stringent. So says presumably Republican Waukesha County DA Sue Opper.
Come on, man. I play prosecutor on the radio with some frequency. Yeah, and I'm telling you, you indict the jury, juries, and the judge, judges, whether or not the evidence is admissible under Wisconsin law. Now, I am not a lawyer, Dom, but
you're on the radio. That makes you very important and yes, very smart.
Yes, I appreciate you acknowledging that.
Yes. I mean, well, I'm here too.
Well, and you took the law school entry exam twice, did you not?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yep.
And decided sure. Business grad school would be a better route.
844-967-2789. So it's not only are they getting cover from the Republican DA in Waukesha County, they are also engaging in the very behavior and actions that they claim other people are engaging
rigging
in.
Elections.
What is it? If you're going to get around, you're going to work a workaround of campaign finance limits to what end? To influence the election, right? There's a reason we have these limitations in place.
At least they weren't ballot harvesting, Dom. It's very bad, the ballot harvesting, but they're willing to do it if necessary.
If they have to, yeah. You know, and the drop boxes. Don't even get me going on the drop boxes. It would be a joke if it weren't such a brazen, obvious attempt to circumvent and break the law. And these are the folks that stand up all high and mighty and cast blame on everybody else without proof or evidence or anything. And we have recordings of them talking about it and apparently can't use them. Come on.
We should see if we can get copies of those recordings and play them for the court of public opinion over and over and over again. Come back with us. We don't give a damn about our bad reputations either, especially Dom. Couldn't go lower. 844-967-2789. Yeah, it could. You could be Crudy.
This feels so good. It'd be so bad.
Want to hear from you? 844-96-PARTY. You're listening to it. It is a Who's the Most Patriotic Edition, a Hump Day Edition, a Wednesday Edition. Join it.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
You are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio. So love it when you join us on the lines. Do so now at 844-967-2789.
One quick thought, Tom. I thought I was the headliner of the Wisconsin Grassroots Network. Yeah. Who's this Garrison Keillor they're bragging about booking?
Oh, man.
You know, if I don't get some sort of proper, you know, billing, I'm not sure if I'll properly introduce the man. 844-967-2789. I tease. Please consider attending the Wisconsin Grassroots Network May 4th, Appleton, Lawrence University. Crudy will be there. Joe from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
I wanted to commend you for playing that audio of the California banker who lives in the private gated community in California, Laguna Beach, who wants to be the Wisconsin senator, Mr. Huggy. I just think that piece of audio of him attempting to recite the Pledge of Allegiance needs to be played again and again and again. Part of the reason I think that is true is that If you're involved in government activities at all, you're saying the Pledge of Allegiance on a regular basis. You know, if you're a congressperson, if you're a city council person, whatever, you hear the Pledge of Allegiance and you heard it said, and you're not likely to flub it. And the other group of people that hear it on a regular basis are, of course, children. And Wisconsin is one of the states in which kids are required in public schools to not only have the flag there, also in private schools, they've got to have the flag displayed. But in public schools, they are required to say the Pledge of Allegiance or sing the national anthem every day. Now, kids can get exempted out of it. And that is another thing that is really interesting when you talk about patriotism, because the court case back in the 1940s before the Supreme Court that said no one is required to say the Pledge of Allegiance is right. Barnett versus West Virginia. And what's interesting about that is that the court came to that decision. Our Supreme Court said you aren't required to have a show of patriotism in the middle of World War II. That decision came down in 1943 when we hadn't won it by any means at that point. And part of what they said in that decision that was so important was that we, unlike the Nazis, do not have forced displays of patriotism. That isn't what makes you patriotic, saying the Pledge of Allegiance. So I think the fact that Eric flubbed it is just beautiful on so many levels. So I'd encourage you to return to that again and again, because it's very, very beautiful. Thanks, guys.
Joe, you know we lack imagination and creativity. We're going to play the youth snot out of that. I got to think of a word I could say on the radio to say how badly we're going to hammer this guy with his own flubbed words.
Good luck. Good luck, guys. See you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Eric Hodvey, if you'd like to join the greatest radio show ever. Hodvey. I'll get your name right if you call us. 844-967-2789. 279.
Hey, let's play it again. We're playing the hits. If you would be so kind, Rich. This one goes a long distance dedication going out to our pal Joe from Madison. Whenever you're ready, Rich, let's hear what Eric Hovde, the super patriot from California who wants to be a Wisconsin senator.
I'm proud to be an American. I love my country. So let's say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Amen.
Kind of reminds me of Roseanne Barr throwing out the first pitch.
At least she had a little more style. At least she could articulate the words. And I'm not, you know, we get Monday mouth or Wednesday mouth, as the case may be. Sometimes, you know, the brain works not on the same speed and sync as the mouth does. So I get it that people can screw up when you say it. But he was speaking. I don't know. It was very weird. His
as they were coming out.
Yeah,
his cadence.
The whole thing was just off. It was just off. And talk about being forced, forced patriotism. Well, this is forced patriotism in a different way. This is someone, I think, pretending. I'm not saying the guy doesn't love his country, but he certainly can't tell that by the pledge he just gave. If that's your qualification, if that's how you gauge someone's patriotism and love of country, is how well they recite the Pledge of Allegiance, fail, Hovde.
I can tell you this. If I was Tammy Baldwin, and I was debating, getting ready to debate Eric Hovde on the television, on the boob tubes, I would say, Eric, I always like to say the Pledge of Allegiance before I debate. And as you're the opponent and I'm the incumbent, I'll let you go first. Do you think that'll play? Do you think that would be?
I think it would. It would
that
play.
Spice up the debate a little bit if he flubbed it before he went on the stage, don't you think? If I were Eric Hovde, comms team, I'm talking to you right now, Ben Vogel, and I know you've been a little guarded with your candidate because we've invited him on at least 2-3 times, and you haven't delivered yet.
No. Why do you think that is?
Well, I'm starting to see why, Tom. Public speaking, not a strength for this guy.
No.
You know, I had to give a brief statement. I was about 12 years old, maybe 11. There's a couple hundred people in the room, though. My first big room, Tom. And, I sounded way better than Eric Hovde there did. At least could read my little speech. I'm sure I could have recited it. If it was just about getting the Pledge of Allegiance right, I feel like I would have done it confidently, Dom. Now I need you all to pledge to come back 2 more hours of the greatest radio show ever. A happy hour and a happier happy hour. Yeah, we double down around here. And maybe one more, maybe 2 more times we'll play the Eric Hovde saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I think we have to. We have to continually remind the audience who the guy is.
I didn't realize it'd be a theme today, but you know, when you find something, just ride that racehorse. Beat it! Eric Hovde will have spots on him where the jockey is whipping him. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.